afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Thursday, to get you through your commute, to get you through the coronavirus crisis. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. We're live on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app. It's important for you to have that app since we've got a lot of breaking news happening all the time over the coronavirus. In fact, joining me this hour, coronavirus task force member, head administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, Seema Verma. She's going to stop by. We're going to talk about how it felt when all those Democrats decided to say, oh, all those old white dudes are in charge, when she's, you know, female and Indian. SPOG President Mike Solon's going to stop by. They are going to explain how they are amplifying President Trump's briefings. Plus, we're going to dive into the nonsense CNN coverage. There is a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Your health.
We're talking about the coronavirus crisis because it impacts a whole bunch of people. It impacts a whole bunch of people from a health way and from an economic perspective, right? We've got a lot of people who right now are suffering as a result of the coronavirus, either from a health perspective or from their job. But the president understands that we need to get this under control, not just from a health perspective, but from, wait for it, an economic one. And so he said over and over and over again, he's going to listen to the experts. He's going to hear what they have to say. He's going to look at the data and then decide when we can get back to relative normalcy from an economic perspective. He said it again earlier today that getting back to normal doesn't mean literally getting back to normal in the sense of going back to shaking hands. You're still going to have to do the social distancing. You're still going to have to take the same precautions. You're still going to have to be careful about touching your face, forgetting to wipe down surfaces. You're still going to have to do that. But he says, look, we have 55% of new cases, 55% of all cases even, coming out of New York. That is the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak right now. And so what we would do in New York is going to be different than what we would do in Kansas or Oklahoma. They don't have to suffer the same way as New York is suffering right now. Let's put our energy and efforts into bringing things back to normal elsewhere and focus our mitigation and treatment concerns on the hotspots. And what we're having at the same exact time, and I'm so glad Dr. Birx keeps saying this during these press briefings. She keeps scolding the media for relying on worst case scenarios, on models suggesting the worst case scenarios when the data does not back it up. So you've got some people, whether it's Nancy Pelosi saying we need an endless amount of ventilators, or New York City Governor Andrew Cuomo saying we need 30,000, she's saying that's not what the data suggests. That's not what the data suggests. So Peter Navarro is the White House trade advisor. He was on with CNN's Brianna Keeler. And they end up fighting over ventilators in the most transparent way possible. And we don't normally play long clips. We don't usually go more than 30, maybe 60 seconds. This is a long clip, and I want you to listen with me because it shows you how utterly dishonest the media is, and CNN in particular.
After it's over, look, Peter, we're going to be stronger.
I'm just going to tell you, you're wasting everyone's time. You're wasting everyone's time with this. It's 2020. The president was elected in 2016. Can you get to a million ventilators?
Okay, so now he's about to make the case. We don't need right now a million ventilators. We may never need a million ventilators. You are focusing on the worst case scenario.
First of all, that number is way, way, way out of proportion.
What can you get to then?
We are going to do our best to get the ventilators we need as quickly as possible. And we have GM and Ford repurposing factories
but
for that purpose.
Do you have, like, I'm just trying to get to the, do you have a projection of how many you can get to?
See, this is the kind of thing, Brianna. You go, oh, we need a million ventilators. We can't possibly get it. That's like wildly over what we would need. We are ramping up production.
That's from the Society of Critical Care Medicine, Peter.
Do you think Brianna Keeler is a scientist? Do you think she understands the nuance in all of this? I don't. I personally also don't understand the nuance of all the science. The scientists do, and they're the ones who have been guiding Peter Navarro and this administration.
Care medicine. They said that's a ceiling, but they say that's a possibility. And I mean...
Yeah, you know what else is a possibility? Everyone in the world getting the coronavirus right now. That is technically a possibility. Do we create a system that can handle everyone in the world getting the coronavirus right now? No, because it's not possible, nor is it likely.
You have to know that,
okay,
right?
Okay, that's a ceiling and that's a possibility. That's like the worst of the worst of the worst case. Okay, again, you're frightening America with that kind of stuff.
Peter, if you think that speaking in facts and truth is frightening to people, you have a problem.
Why do you keep shouting in my ear? I don't understand. I'm trying to give you some numbers and answer your questions.
Okay, please.
Watch me answer the question. We got 43,000 ventilators at least that are come from Philips. We're working with GM and Ventec, and they may be able to produce as many as 80,000 by the end of the year. Ford and GE are partnering together, and there's 8 other companies on our spreadsheets where we're looking to get them to up their production or take whatever inventory they got. We are working really hard on this, and we are surging capacity to the places they need it. And I think what's important for CNN here is to report this in a sober way without frightening America, mm-hmm. and just having reasonable conversations when somebody from the White House comes on, instead of just shouting in our ear.
Now, is what he just said, is that unreasonable to you? I'm just kind of curious. Is what he just said unreasonable? Focus on what's in front of us. Focus on what could be realistically in front of us. We know we're not going to need 1 million ventilators tomorrow, right? We know we're not going to need it next week or even next month. We hopefully never need it. But we do know right now situations in certain hotspots where they need more. And that's where the focus is going to be. But she is singularly focused on the doomsday scenario because it shows the president as weak. It shows the president doesn't know what he's doing. And yet I am proud right now that the president is running things and not Hillary Clinton. I am proud that Fox News is covering this in the right way, and way more eyes are on Fox News than are on CNN.
Peter, I will tell you that one way that I think a lot of people are calmed down is when they have information. And even if it's bad news or it's difficult news to hear, they know the size of the problem and they know that the government has a plan for it.
You know what would also be okay to do every once in a while? Focusing on what's realistic, focusing on what's honest, telling the good news, which they never do on CNN because they don't want you to get access to that. That's why they cut off parts of the press briefings. The coronavirus task force right now, I believe, is responsible for why 60% of Americans polled by Gallup say the president is doing a good job navigating the coronavirus crisis. 60%. And when that poll came out, what did we start to hear? Local NPR affiliate KUOW deciding they're not going to carry the press briefings anymore. And by the way, they're going to try to fundraise off of it. CNN yet again cuts off the press briefing when Mike Pence starts to speak. They don't like that these press briefings are showing the president in a positive light and showing what he's doing to be not only more than adequate, but presidential.
That is what we're trying to get with you. You're in charge of the supply chain. That is the most pressing issue right now. I don't know that too much of a clearer picture having spoken to you today.
If I may, when you lead with your administration was woefully unprepared, mm-hmm. do not expect me to accept that.
That's a fact, and you said you were.
Oh my God, that's a fact. Really? That's a fact? He's not going to agree with that's a fact. Now, that's what you think at CNN because you think everything negative of the president 100% of the time.
And not
you said you were prepared. I just had to.
It's not a fact. Okay, but you should at least let me respond to it. Okay, you go, oh, your administration is woefully unprepared. Now, how many ventilators do you have? I mean, that's a two-parter, right? So, I'll come on CNN anytime. All I ask is civil dialogue where I have a time to speak and that we deal with the facts. And I would just keep asking CNN. It's like, this is the crisis of our lives. You will never experience anything like this again in your lifetime. And we need, as a people, to band together and work with this in a unified way, above party, above partisan politics, above ideology, and just solve this problem together. And if we get on TV and it gets sensationalized, you stir people up, it just
good
leads to
him.
Bad things. That's my
good
point.
Now,
we are working as hard as we possibly can with the full force of government and the full force of private enterprise, and that's the best we can do right now. We all as a country got dealt a bad hand by China.
Peter, that is just a waste of time to say that. I'm going to leave it there, Peter Navarro.
No, hang on.
We're just trying to get our hands around that. No, Peter Navarro,
why is
that's
that a waste
it. We're out of
time. To say
we're, out
that.
Of, we're out of time, and that's just
okay.
That's ridiculous.
Good to talk.
Peter Navarro,
thank
you.
Oh,
my God, it's so ridiculous. Where did the virus originate? China. Now, why is it that pointing that out is ridiculous and a waste of time? You want to know why? It's because she wants her viewers to blame Donald Trump. Oh, it's a waste of time. Well, if that's a waste of time to point out that it came from China, because we're far past that now, which is true. We are far past where it came from. Okay, fine. Well, then why do you keep bringing up this idea that, for a fact, the rollout in dealing with this was too slow? Isn't that already, are we already past that? Now we have to catch up, I guess, right? It is remarkable how dishonest these people are. It is absolutely remarkable. And for us to understand and contextualize why things are the way they are, it's important for us to understand where it came from and how it spread. We hear people saying, oh my gosh, you see what happened in Italy? We're going to become like Italy. Are we going to become like Italy? Because that would be scary, yes? The number of dead patients they had as a result of the coronavirus, staggering. Are we going to become like Italy? No. Want to know why? Here's Dr. Anthony Fauci on CNN.
Italy got hit very badly because they had a large number of importations from China by Chinese tourists. And before they even knew what was going on, there was enough baseline people spreading that it essentially got out of hand. And it became difficult for them, as good as they are, and they're very good, to be able to contain it in a way that is contact tracing, all that kind of thing.
Isn't that kind of important to understand that context? Remember, CNN, Breonna Keeler, and all those other media members there, they want you to blame the president while also telling you to listen to the experts. But they don't listen to the experts when the experts say things they don't like. When Dr. Deborah Birx is up there scolding the media for being disingenuous about the models, as Breonna was, we're not supposed to pay attention to them. When the World Health Organization Director General, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, actually praises the president, we're not supposed to hear that. Oh, you didn't hear that? You didn't hear when... I don't think they heard it. Do you think they heard it?
No, probably not.
No, it's just so weird. It's so weird that they didn't hear it. So let's fix that.
Fighting this pandemic needs political commitment, and commitment at the highest level possible. And the president's commitment, you have already seen it.
Wow.
And
so
the
weird.
World have seen it. And that kind of leadership is very, very important, the whole of government approach.
Wow, because CNN says the president isn't leading at all. But the expert that CNN will praise is saying something different than they are, which is why you're not hearing it on CNN. Meanwhile, folks here in King County, bringing it back home, they've been slowly getting the first rounds of at-home test kits for the coronavirus. It's being done for research, so it means whether or not you're sick, they're getting tested for research. Caro 7 TV says the Seattle Coronavirus Assessment Network, SCAN, they're mailing out about 300 kits every single day. Dr. Jeff Duchin, who is the health officer for Public Health Seattle and King County, Here he is explaining how these kits work.
This involves you signing up online and us mailing you a kit that allows you to swab yourself.
So why are they doing this? Well, they want to be able to track how many people actually have COVID-19 and how they feel. Todd Stevenson, for example, he was experiencing what he at the time at least called just like a kind of mild cold, not feeling too great, kind of crummy. And he realized that Scan was allowing for these tests, so he decided to participate.
Put it in my nostril about an inch or so, spun it around a few times, and then put the swab in the vial.
So a group of researchers from the Seattle Flu Study and the Seattle King County Public Health, they're reviewing all of the data.
Understanding those dynamics of how the virus is moving is really important for then informing what kinds of social distancing measures are going to be most effective.
That's cool. Good for them. Now, obviously, there are some people who are suffering a little bit more than others in dealing with the coronavirus crisis. Some people can't really stay isolated for too long at a time where social distancing is paramount to getting this under control. Dr. Robin Henderson talking with KATU, she is the chief executive for behavioral health at Providence Health and Services, said this.
That missing of physical contact is really starting to get to people. And we know that people need physical contact. That's something that helps keep us healthy.
Now, some of us are okay with the lack of physical contact.
By default, it's not by choice.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, it's because, you know, no one swipes right. They all swipe left. But she says, hey, people like you, Jason Rantz, or someone who maybe is elderly and is really scared at this point, there are ways for you to be less isolated.
Grandparents have a unique opportunity to all of a sudden become story time. Schedule a regular library time as part of your homeschooling and have the grandparents, you know, read a story.
Have them read a story. There was that whole Facebook ad. Remember the, what was that stupid product that they have?
The big the video chat thing,
yeah,
that you put on your wall.
And it was, it doesn't have to be on their wall, but it was like, it was something Facebook Halo or something. I don't know what it was. The whole bit behind it, the way that they sold it to the public, to me, which was just not fun at all, was giving it to a family member in your life who you live far away from, and they just pop up on the Facebook call and just bug you whenever it is they want to bug you, and you can have a face-to-face chat.
Was that the grandma, you're on TV? And she said, oh, I am?
Yeah.
What channel?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
God, I hate those ads. Henderson says voice contact is vital. Guess what we do for a living? We talk into a microphone.
If they don't have the ability to Skype or FaceTime or like what we're doing right now, pick up a phone and call them and spend time talking with them and checking on them and asking how they are.
Or just tell them to listen to the radio. Because, I mean, for me, I'm not calling anybody in my family. You maybe will get a text message. Maybe. But that's about it. I'm not calling you. But those of you who feel like you need to do something with family members and you're not as cold-hearted as I am, or maybe you are but you don't want to admit it, just send them the KTTH smartphone app. Just send them a link. I'm talking to you right now. Yeah, you, the isolated person in your home, in your apartment. You, yeah. No, you. Dummy, you. Stop wondering if I'm talking. It's you. Yeah, hi. See, I just fixed it.
What about with smart speakers? They can also access KTTH via their smart speaker in their home, correct?
Yeah, whether we're talking about an Amazon Echo or a Google Home or the Sonos thingy majiggy that I don't know what it's called, you can do it that way as well. You're never away from some voices. For some of you, you're actually still inviting people into the home. You're doing it in a safe place. You're doing it because you need to. It counts as an essential service. In fact, with so many people staying home right now, the call volume for home fixers is surging. MJ Johnson is a plumber who lives out in Mount Lake Terrace. He tells Cairo 7 TV he's spending a lot of time around the home. But as producer Peyton wrote in what he thinks is clever, other people's homes, that is.
Life is kind of just going on for us. In this industry, you come across a lot, you know, in our day-to-day before the virus was even here. We have to be extremely careful.
Another handyman. Can you say handyman anymore? Is that?
I think you still can.
Is it handy person? No, I don't want. I don't
go with your heart.
Okay, handyman. Mike Martinez. And by the way, I'm even saying if it's a woman. Because I don't see gender. I mean, I read gendered words, but I don't see the gender. Mike Martinez says, the job is the same as it's always been, but the working environment is a little bit different.
We go into wherever the problem area is inside the home, and they stay in another section of the house. So people have been really aware of that and really cool with that. I make sure that everything is sanitized, that we always have latex gloves on, always have the mask on, so we're not transmitting anything.
You know, again, lots of industries are going to be hurting as a result of this, but they're all, you know, glass half full. Jason is looking at some of the industries that are going to be less impacted. In fact, they might even benefit from this. And it's not to say that that's worth all the other people suffering, but we do tend to think of things just all across the board. We have this 3.5 million people coming up for unemployment. That's a huge number. I get it. But the good news is not everyone is going to suffer, and some people are going to suffer less than others, some people more, and some people are going to benefit. And I say, you know what? Let's support the businesses and companies that we can.
I don't like glass half full, Jason. It's almost as bad as rotten, Jason, which is all the time.
No, no, to be clear, you're going to suffer severely.
I know.
You personally.
I know.
So just, I'm not saying glass half full is for you. I'm saying for the handyman or our sponsor, AlpineClean.com. Go there right now and get your carpets cleaned or your air ducts cleaned. Seems really smart to do that now.
Coronavirus does not protect me from staplers thrown across the office, okay, or, you know, okay, when you throw any sort of object that's near you at me.
It assaults me. Oh, I'm in a toxic work environment. I can't handle it. Oh, it hurts. When we come back, how's this for an exclusive? Coronavirus Task Force member, Seema Verma. She's the head administrator for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. She's going to stop by to take us through exactly how the Trump administration is tackling the coronavirus, not just here in Washington State, but all across the country. Seema Verma, when we come back, right here on The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. The Coronavirus Task Force, they are hard at work tackling the coronavirus, not just to save lives, particularly, of course, in the most vulnerable demographics, but to help save the economy using data to dictate their moves. Don't let the media tell you otherwise. Administrator Seema Verma is head of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and she is a very integral part of the president's coronavirus task force, and she joins me now. Administrator Verma, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
So as seniors are told to stay inside all across the state, certainly here in Washington with our stay-at-home order, they still have access to healthcare services. They can use the phone or the computer. So take us through some of these new benefits.
Sure. So one of the things the president did was, you know, in those directions, 15 days to slow the spread, and we know that in your area, that's even don't leave the house. We know people have healthcare issues. And so what we've essentially done is expanded access to telehealth services. And we've done this in the Medicare program, and states are also able to do this in the Medicaid program. And you've heard private insurance companies across the board advocating and making sure that there's coverage for telehealth services. And so it means that you can communicate with your doctors through Skype. They could do FaceTime, and they essentially have the entire visit via, you know, a communication. And the great thing about this is that it allows people to stay at home and to be safe. That means they don't have to travel. Mm-hmm. They don't have to sit in a waiting room where they could get infected or they could infect other people. Also, in the Medicare program, there are no copays. So that's the other thing that we're ensuring, that there are no financial disincentives.
So
to getting to telehealth,
we're still hearing from some folks at the hospitals, essentially, hey, we still need some of the personal protective equipment. Now, we heard from the president just 2 days ago saying that's on the way, and obviously different regions are going to be hit differently. At this point, where would you say we are as far as getting the masks and the gloves to folks?
Well, I will tell you that this is one of the main focuses of the task force, and FEMA actually has an entire task force devoted to this issue specifically, and it's a multi-tiered strategy. The first thing that we've seen is just an incredible private-public partnership and collaboration, and we're hearing companies across the board that are ramping up production. Companies like Hanes that don't normally produce masks, mm-hmm. they're producing masks. You're seeing FEMA going into the stockpile and getting out supplies to those hard-hit areas like Washington State, New York, making sure they're getting their supplies and dealing with their requests. The other thing we're doing is being creative about what we have. What we've realized is that the machines that anesthesiologists use during surgeries, that those can actually be repurposed to be ventilators. And so we've been working with the Society of Anesthesiologists to put out guidance about how these other pieces of equipment can be repurposed. And then we're also trying to make sure that we're conserving all of the equipment that we have. And that's why telehealth becomes really important. We've also, at the federal level, said, look, we should postpone non-elective surgery so that we're conserving the supplies that we have. And, you know, the existing suppliers are ramping up production. We're also looking worldwide where we can procure supplies from, and then figuring out how we can rapidly accelerate the transport of these supplies, right? We don't want to put them on a ship and take 30 days to get here. The federal government's going to send planes out to get these supplies.
Just joining us, we're talking with Administrator Seema Verma. She's the head of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. She's a part of the President's Coronavirus Task Force. Earlier this morning, Nancy Pelosi said that we need an unlimited number of ventilators. A couple days ago, we heard from Governor Cuomo in New York that they need 30,000. So for a task force that's focused on data, number one, is the 30,000 number realistic for one single state? And how do you respond to we need an unlimited number of ventilators? Because that's not going to happen.
Well, we need to make sure that people that need ventilators get them, right? That's the top priority. The estimates in terms of when people are saying we need this many or that many, that's why some of the work that Dr. Birx and Dr. Mm-hmm. Fauci are doing is so important, because they're looking at the infection rate in the community. We know that in New York, that infection rate was higher than it was in Washington State. In Washington State and other areas of the country, you're seeing, you know, about 10% of the people that are being tested getting positive tests, whereas in New York, that number was closer to 28%. So they're looking at what's the population, what's the infection rate, and they're doing their estimates that way. The other thing they have to keep into consideration is the mitigation strategies. So, you know, the do not go out of your homes and stay in place are so important, because that also reduces the need. The other thing we have to remember is that not everybody that gets sick is going to need a ventilator.
Yeah.
So that's the other part of this as well, is that, you know, a 20-year-old that may get sick won't likely need a ventilator. An older population, there's a higher probability that those individuals may need it. So they're using all of that data to think about, you know, what the need is. But at the end of the day, the president wants to make sure that the healthcare system can address this issue and people get the care that they need.
How do you and this administration sort of navigate the next few days to next couple weeks? Obviously, to your point, we're getting more tests, which means more positive cases. And that, of course, does not necessarily mean a huge jump in deaths. Here in Washington, we're expecting to get a spike after the stay-at-home order, just because of the testing that's being done. But again, the mortality rate is still very, very low. So what exactly is the messaging?
I think the messaging is the same, right? It's 15 days to slow the spread. We need every American to follow those guidelines. It's really important because, again, as we've talked about, the pressure on the healthcare system, right? We don't want the healthcare mm-hmm. system to be, you know, not being able to address people that need care. And so I think those recommendations are still the same, right? We want everybody to play their part, staying at home. You know, if they're sick, call your doctor. Don't go in. Wash your hands. All of those recommendations are so important, the non-essential travel. And then that way, I think we can have a better assessment of what's going on. You're right. Testing is ramping up. And so as testing is ramping up, we're getting through the backlog. We're going to see more cases. And then we can also assess the impact of the actions that we're taking to figure out our next steps.
Administrator Seema Verma joining us on the line, part of the President's Coronavirus Task Force. Just a couple more questions. From your perspective as someone who's actually on the task force, and you're in these meetings that the media is not privy to, do you think the media is accurately portraying what's going on behind the scenes? We've got this narrative that they seem hell-bent on pursuing, that the president is not listening to the experts, and the experts are literally saying he is. So where's the disconnect?
Well, I can tell you from being on the task force that the president is absolutely listening to the experts, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, Dr. Hahn, Dr. Redfield, Dr. Adams. We have an incredibly talented group of professionals that are at the top of their fields. They're worldwide experts, and they are guiding the decision making. And behind that, their recommendations are being driven by data. And I think the president has listened to these recommendations. That's why he took early action with the travel restrictions to China, the travel restrictions to Europe, 15 days to slow the spread. I mean, all of his action is being driven by the expertise of the task force and behind that data.
Last question for you, just personally, because it kind of drove me nuts when I saw about a week and a half ago, the blue check marks on Twitter saying it's all old white men who are making the decisions. Anyone curious? And then all of a sudden you're there and like, oh, well, you know, it's still a lot of old white men. I mean, beyond the just like sort of demeaning nature of it, what's your reaction to that?
There are, you know, plenty of women, different, you know, a diverse group of people that are advising the president, myself, Dr. Adams, Dr. Birx. So there, you know, at the end of the day, the president is surrounding himself with talented people that can deliver the results that the American people deserve. And that's what his main focus is on.
Well, let me say something to you that I don't think enough people are probably saying. Thank you for the work that you're doing. I know that it's not easy work. I know that it's not forgiving work, but you're doing it and you've made yourself available to Media Requests. And that's pretty amazing. I really appreciate the work that you're doing. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Jason, and thank you for saying that. You know, behind me and behind all the people that you see in the task force are literally thousands of hardworking government officials that are working round the clock, and they really are the heroes, maybe the unseen heroes in this. But I can tell you my team, it's almost a 24/7 operation, and it's inspiring to me to see this much effort and work.
That's
so thank
amazing.
You for saying that.
No, absolutely. Again, we've been talking with Administrator Seema Verma of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, more coverage of the impacts coronavirus is having right here in Washington State. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show on AM 770, KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. We talked about it yesterday. Our competitor, KUOW Radio, it's the local NPR station here in Seattle. They declared, because they don't like some of the content that the president is saying, that they are not going to carry the president's coronavirus crisis task force press briefings live. We, of course, will. But now, apparently, also will the Seattle Police Officers Guild. Their president, Mike Solon, joins me now. Welcome back to the show.
Jason, happy to be here. Thank you.
So you made the announcement earlier today that on your social media channels, you will be airing the press briefings. Tell us why you made this decision.
Well, number one is public safety. This COVID-19 crisis is impacting every one of us in our community, in our state, and across this nation. And we feel it is absolutely egregious for entities to play partisan politics in a time of this national crisis, especially when we're talking about its impact on public safety and people's lives. So therefore, I will use whatever necessary means that are available to me to get this critical information out to the public. And let's be clear, this isn't going to come from political entities. This is medical advice from medical professionals, such as the Surgeon General. And all of this is incredibly important. And we need to provide that information so people can stay safe and to save lives.
Well, and, you know, we've heard coming from members of the media, particularly on the left, as a means to go after President Trump. Listen to the experts. Listen to the doctors. Well, the doctors are speaking. We've had doctors at every single one of these press briefings, and we're not able to listen to the doctors if you don't actually air the content. Now, I'm okay with KUOW making that choice because it highlights the fact that you guys are doing it, that we're doing it here on KTTH. But it's creating, I think, a dangerous echo chamber.
Yeah, and right now we don't need partisan politics to impact the public safety message
100%
of COVID-19. I mean, this is such a profound virus that's impacting every one of our lives. And we're going to do everything we can to provide up-to-date information to the public to assist law enforcement officials, medical professionals in getting this much needed information out there. And whatever I can do to assist getting messaging out there, I will provide this community with that information.
Just joining us, we're talking with the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. That's the officers union, Mike Solon. His decision to air the full press briefings coming from President Trump for the coronavirus task force, because stations like KEOW, which is the local NPR station, is choosing not to over political reasons. Now, some people will say, oh, well, you're not airing the Governor Inslee press briefings. If KEOW decided that they were not going to carry the Inslee briefings, you would air them as well, correct?
I would air any information that is being blocked by any public platform on our platform to get information out there, regardless of politics. We're not in the playing political game when it comes to public safety. Public safety issues are impacting our community at an astounding rate, let alone COVID-19's viral impact on our whole nation. Now is not the time to play politics on politics in any media platform. We're going to provide that information to everybody, regardless of their political affiliation or their ideology. We're here to serve the public. We will continue to serve the public, because ultimately the public safety professionals that work in our membership reflect the professionalism on a daily basis and are on the front lines dealing with this COVID crisis. And we're going to provide every information available to us, to the public, to assist all of us to get through this crisis.
I'm glad you're doing it. I think it's a great move. It's a smart move. On a related note to the health and safety of the community, but also your officers, yesterday we reported that three officers had tested positive, or three staff members, I should say, with the SPD have tested positive for COVID-19. When I asked the department to confirm an email that was sent by Chief Carmen Best, they told me they can't give us any details whatsoever because of HIPAA laws, which is just absolutely ridiculous. Are they dragging their feet with you and SPOG and identifying, or at least giving some information as to how your officers can be protected from the spread of COVID-19?
Ultimately, our job as a police union is to fight and stand up for our members' working conditions. And since our last conversation we had, I believe it was on Thursday, when we authored a letter to Chief Best requesting more information as it pertains to COVID-19's impact on our membership as a whole and their safety and their well-being. Since that time, we've received a lot more communication from the department, and I commend Chief Best for being proactive post-letter being given to her, and the information coming from the department to our union has definitely improved, and I want to thank them for that. And we're all here to play a part in providing this information, not only to the people that are on the front line, such as the police officers and other first responders who answer those 911 calls to assist the community on public safety needs, but broadly speaking, to the overall message to the entire community across the state, because we are law enforcement labor leaders and the department is leading the charge on getting information out there. And all we want to do is help out. And if we can provide them with information to assist their narrative and vice versa, well, then we're all on the same playing field and we're all part of the same process to make sure that information gets out there.
Before I let you go, we only got about 30 seconds, and I don't want to get you in too much trouble, but Chief Carmen Best is not happy with me today. Tell me if this tweet is incorrect, just this one fact. I tweeted, SPD no longer can book most misdemeanor suspects. Her response to my tweet was to check my facts, and she gave me a list of things you're doing to arrest people. Now, booking and arresting are two completely different things. Was my statement incorrect?
No, you mentioned booking, and that's what the King County order came basically highlighted. And I did an interview earlier on the booking process, and I'm worried that the booking process will embolden criminals and perhaps increase crime. And I'm wondering, post-COVID, when the dust settles with all this, will that impact public safety issues even further in the negative realm on our behalf to hinder our ability to provide professional public safety service to our community. But I also, on the flip side of that, I understand the message to protect the community at large and to protect the first responders. But if we're not going to book people for certain crimes, then why are we having officers approach people and arrest them, put them in handcuffs, but then quickly release them? It's almost like a double standard, but I understand the public safety message to protect us, but also it has a detrimental impact to the overall public safety message of emboldening criminals. So it's a touchy subject, and we, believe me, we're on top of it, and we're working it.
Officer Mike Solon is the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. Thank you so much for stopping by, as always. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
Absolutely. You've been listening to The Jason Rant Show. Don't forget, give us a like on Facebook, as we're trying to do Facebook Live events every single night during this crisis. Facebook.com/Jason Rants Show.